morning again.
Is this level on the microphone all right? Can you hear quite well?
Very good.
Good. Mr. Horner, I'm sure you realize that this is a very great honor for me this morning to find myself the first, and I hope it's only the first, annual French Horn Workshop. And on the stage was my teacher, a man who's highly respected and revered by all in the profession, a living legend in our time among horn players. And I think at this time, a good round of applause again for Mr. Horner would not be out of order.
Very good.
Mr. Horner, I'm sure that these people, most of them considerably younger than we are, would be very much interested in hearing something about your young days and your career. And I think without further ado, if we can start perhaps with some comments about your younger life, when you began to study, where it was, how old you were, and so forth. I'm sure they'd be delighted to hear anything you have to say.
Yep. I was born in Austria in 1877 in a small village near Karlsbad. I came to this country when I was 8. My father was a violinist, but also played piano, organ, and little horn. He hoped to make me my life, in the Austrian state. But he died after 5 years. So when I was 13, we went back to Austria, where an uncle offered to help us. My father began to teach me violin when I was 8. When my uncle asked me that I wanted to be, I said that I knew more about music than anything else, so I would be violinist. A good violinist was brought for me, and I studied this with a good teacher in another village. I walked 12 miles twice a week with my violin on my back to take my lessons. Life is easy today.
It's a bit easier today, isn't it?
It was hoped that I could go to the Leipzig Conservatory of Music in Germany, because students also studied a second instrument in brass instrument. So they could join an army band if drafted.
That sounds a bit familiar, doesn't it? Many of them are doing the same thing today.
I thought I would play trumpet, but an uncle who had taught my father said, "No trumpet. Your father always said good horn players were scarce in America. We'll get you on a horn." I had nothing to say in the matter, so horn it was. 6 months later, I did pass examinations for Leipzig to become a violinist. However, while good, my violin lessons were never as well as the horn. My teacher was Gumpert, and I was his youngest pupil. He used to say, "Listen to that boy play." It seemed I had a God-given gift for horn. So after 1 year, horn became my principal instrument and violin secondary. I was 16 and a half when I graduated and returned to Philadelphia.
So then we have you back in this country ready to start on a career at age 16, 17.
Yeah.
How many of you out there are about 16, 17? I suspect there are a few out there. Are you ready for career? So then you got back to this country and you were ready for your first job. And how did that come about?
My first chance came when I substituted at the Warner Street Theater in Philadelphia. I showed my ability and I became a regular member of the orchestra. Naturally, I played all sorts of odd jobs, and I played a summer season with Susan. One day in 1899, when I was 22, I got a letter from Victor Herbert, then conductor of the Pittsburgh Orchestra. He asked me to meet him in New York to play on him. I jumped for joy. To play in a big orchestra had always been my ambition. I took concertos with me, but Victor Herbert was not interested. He said, everybody can play concertos. I will pick something from orchestra scores. After we played many, he said, now I must find something with a high C. And he chose the Siegfried Call. I played it well, and he said, good, spielen Sie es noch einmal. Victor Herbert often spoke German. So I played it again, good, please play it again. So I played it a third time. And then he said, how I'll believe it. Now I believe it.
Now I believe it. On the third hearing, he believed it.
Then we talked about pay. He offered me $35 a week. I wanted $50. Which Susan had paid me the summer before. Victor Herbert said, this is a chance to show what you can do. And I said, I don't want men to say, here's a kid who gets the job because he's cheap. Victor Herbert was amused and offered me $40. I felt I better take, since I really wanted the job.
But there you are. How about that $40 a week? So then after that, you began, you went almost directly to Philadelphia, I suppose.
Yeah.
I see. Well, go ahead from your notes, Mr. Horner.
I was with Victor Herbert for 3 years, and because I received other offers, my pay went from 40 to 50 to 60. Then one day, when we were on tour, the boys said, Tony Fritz Scheel is in the audience. And I said, what has the conductor of the Philadelphia Orchestra to do with me? But 2 weeks later, Philadelphia offered me $80. Victor Herbert could not pay this. He said, Tony, I'd pay it out of my own pocket to keep you. But you are already getting as much as the other first chairs, and I cannot cause bad feelings. We were sorry to part because we admired each other, and I learned more from Victor Herbert from any other conductor. Then, in 1902, I began my 44 years with the Philadelphia Orchestra, under Fritz Scheel, Carl Poli, Stokowski, and Ormandy.
Well, and a long and illustrious career that was with the Philadelphia Orchestra.
Yes, it was.
Right back in the early days of the orchestra, and of course, by the time I became aware of your name, you were a somewhat younger legend, but already a legend. I wonder if you'd like to tell us something about the kind of instrument that you started out with as a young man and your feelings about that.
I brought this old horn along to show to the young people here. This was the forerunner of the single horn. This player got in groups to change the key. Everything else was done with the lip and the hand.
That's quite all right. They're going to have an opportunity to see this horn later on.
And Leipzig made me protect on a horn like this. He felt it was good training for the lip and for the use of the hand. Of course, I studied on a single horn, and I played over Victor Herbert on a single horn. Just before I joined Victor Herbert, I read in a German magazine about a double horn. I ordered one and played my third concert with Victor Herbert on this double horn.
So, Mr. Horner, you were then really the first person to utilize the double horn in this country.
That's right.
You were
That's
the one
right.
to bring it here.
That's right.
So now we have that pinned down, the date and the time.
Soon the Crusper Company in Germany made double horns, and I began to import them, and I suggested changes. I went to the factory several times. Eventually, a horn model of the Crusper horn was made. Many were used in the United States, and this only came to an end because the factory was in the Russian zone after World War II.
Now that tells us quite a bit about your younger days and brings us up to your starting with the Philadelphia Orchestra. And I'm sure as you get into masterclass sessions with Mr. Horner, a lot of the details about that will be forthcoming. They'll want to ask you a lot of questions. But as well as being famous as a great horn player, you're equally well known, and perhaps the interest here is more particularly in interest you, toward your career as a teacher. And perhaps you could give us some facts and insights into your life as a horn teacher.
I gave many private lessons at home, and I spent 25 years with the Curtis Institute of Music in Philadelphia. I am proud of my many successful students. Three of them are here. As an old man, I can see my life is theirs. Excuse me, I'll say it wrong. As an old man, I could see my life in their lives. I love to take music. I love to make music and enjoyed my work. And I try to give this joy to my students. If you ask me for the most important aim, I will tell you to work for quality and beautiful tone.
And I think we all say amen to that. Very interesting, just before we came out together, Mr. Geyer walked over to us and he spoke to me and he said, you know, Mr. Horner was known as the father of the tone. So I think you all understand that this was where the emphasis was in all of Mr. Horner's teaching, on the development of beautiful horn sound. Certainly I remember it that way. Now, Mr. Horner, you've been retired for quite some years. Would you like to give us a little information as to how that came about, when you retired, and so forth?
My retirement was in two stages. I stepped down from the first horn chair after 28 years. And then spent the next 16 years playing third and fourth horn. By this time, all the boys in the horn section were my boys. So once in a while, I bossed them. And once in a while, I found their battle, when a conductor asked the impossible. I told him, you can't do that to that, those poor fellows. Well, you don't know anything about yourself. At this time, I also left the Curtis Institute, for I wanted to be free to travel and few lessons on, and then would be fair to pupils. Since then I have enjoyed life. My wife and I spent many winters here in Florida, and with my daughter we traveled to the West, to Mexico and to Europe. But never do I forget music. I spend many hours listening, and I attend every Philadelphia Orchestra concert.
How about that? At this age, she still goes weekly to the Philadelphia Orchestra concert. Mr. Horner, I see that our time is just about up. There is a schedule that must be adhered to. I'm sure there are many colorful and interesting stories that Mr. Horner would like to tell you, and there'll be ample opportunity, I'm sure, in the master classes to tell some of those morsels and fill in some of the details in your long history in music. And at the moment, I think with great thanks to you, we better release these young people to get on their ways. I'm sure we all owe you a great deal for coming this morning. It was an effort and much appreciated by all of us.